So I've had my staff looking in libraries, universities, on the internet, all over the country, looking for the historical biographies of great moderates in American history. And we haven't found any. We haven't found one great moderate in this country.
Well, we don't have moderates in Wyoming either. We have redcoats, and they're all on a bunch of lists. And here we go. No one is more disappointed about today than the Redcoats. Why, you might ask? Well, they're all on a bunch of lists. Three of them, to be precise. Yes, the indices are out, and they have indicated who is indubitably a Redcoat. And there's a whole bunch of them that ought to just exchange that American flag pin on their lapel for the Union Jack. Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to a very revealing episode from high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. If it hasn't already become abundantly clear, and it will be in just a second, but all of this self-aggrandizement is entirely deserved. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If you're one of these redcoats and you're thinking that your day is about to be ruined, well, you're entirely correct. But second, you can go to cowboystatepolitics.com, pull up an article, and find out what you should have been doing this whole time but didn't. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you at least in part by 307 Cowboy Country. They are central and southeastern Wyoming's full line of Montana shed dealers. They offer backyard sheds, animal shelters, greenhouses, single and double wide garages, cabin shells, horse barns, and fully finished cabins. Bryce and Melody Reese have the knowledge and expertise to meet your needs in designing and buying the building you want and require. Give them a call at 307-441-1815 to find out how 307 Cowboy Country can help you move into the building that you've been dreaming of. Montana Shed Center, buildings for life. A little program note before we really get rolling today. Very soon, I'll have finished all of my interviews with those folks who think that they can be your next governor. I'm going to run the same play that we did last year with all of the candidates that were running for the House of Representatives. I've got a list of questions, and I'm going to ask all of them pretty much the same question. And we're not going to publish any of the interviews until they're all complete. That way, nobody can listen to somebody else's answers and improve on them or whatever. But I'll let you know just as soon as I schedule the last interview. So these lists, all of them are out. In Wyoming, there are three of them. There's Wyo Rhino, there's Evidence-Based Wyoming, and there's Wyo Vote. All three of them attempt to do the same thing, and that is rate the most conservative to the most crimson-wearing redcoat of them all. And really, the only difference is they just use a different method to arrive at their solution. And by and large, their solution pretty much remains the same. I mean, give or take a rating here or there, but the people that you would think are the most conservative generally end up at the top, and the redcoats, like Speaker of the House, Redcoat Eric Barlow, end up near the bottom. The usual suspects, so to speak. Where these lists become particularly helpful is rating new legislators who are going to run for re-election their first time. Almost all of them got elected by telling us that they're super conservative, that they hate abortion, they love their guns, that they hate spending, and that they're conservatives and we should vote for them. Now, the results are in, and we have all the evidence we need to usher them in for another 2 or 4 years, or to kick them straight out and back to where they came from. Red-coated Republican fantasy land. So anyhow, all of these lists do the same thing. They rate legislators from the most conservative to the most liberal. This kind of begs the question as to what conservatism really is. It's pretty simple, and it doesn't change. Whether you quote Ronald Reagan or Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or any of the great conservatives in our country, the principles remain the same. Conservatives believe in people. We love people. We don't see individual different groups because all people are different. All people are unique, and they were created that way by God. When we look at people, we don't see average or above average or below average. We see potential because we were all created equal. We all have the equal opportunity to succeed. And we believe that every single person ought to be given every opportunity possible to succeed. And we just hope that each individual person takes advantage of their freedom of choice to succeed. We believe in the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among those, first and foremost, is life, from the moment of conception to natural death. We believe in freedom and liberty, liberty for each individual person, and that person also has the liberty to exercise their own pursuit of happiness, free from the encumbrances of government. We don't want to run your life for you. We want you to run your life. Government doesn't have any place in your personal affairs. And because you have essential liberty, you have the choice to do whatever it is that you want. Conservatives are a happy bunch of people because we see the innate possibilities within each and every individual. Conservatives believe in the rule of law, that the rules should apply to everyone equally, regardless of who they are or what position they're in. Nobody needs, nor should they have, special privileges, because everybody already has the equal opportunity to succeed, and they should make the choice to do so. And if they don't, well, then that's their choice too. It's not the government's job to make up for someone's bad choices. And speaking of bad choices, conservatives believe that you are the best person to decide what should be done with your money. We should only tax people as much as absolutely necessary to provide for essential services like police or fire or roads. We all like to drive on nice, smooth roads, but we shouldn't tax people more than is absolutely required to have a civil community. Anything beyond that is an intrusion on your liberty. Because no one has a right to the fruits of your labor. Because your economic liberty is inextricably linked to your political and personal liberty. And it is because of this belief in personal and economic liberty that conservatives believe that the free market is responsible for the greatest amount of prosperity that this world has ever known. Government should remain small and allow the free market to operate and produce that prosperity that has led to the greatest quality of life in the history of the world. And not least among any of the things that I have mentioned is your personal right to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from any individual that would try to take it away from you or the government who would try to do the same. In short, conservatives believe in the innate power of the individual and their ability to create and manage their own life. If you'd like to know what liberals believe, completely reverse everything that I just told you. Liberals really are a very unhappy lot. They don't believe that the individual can manage their own lives, and thus the government must do that for them. They don't believe that if a person doesn't succeed, that it might be because of their own bad choices. They always seem to be looking for the boogeyman. Except, of course, in the one place that they'll probably find him. In Cheyenne or Washington, D.C. They believe that the individual is powerless to effect change in the world around them. And thus, somebody else has to do that for him. And if you need any more convincing on this last one, go to the grocery store or the gas pump. Liberals do not believe in the power of the free market to create the greatest amount of prosperity and quality of life in the world. Rather, they think that it is the result of government. To sum this whole thing up in one sentence, conservatives are right and liberals have been wrong all along. Before we get to all the lists, let's engage in something that liberals fundamentally disagree with. A capitalistic, obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or a warehouse, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings, 307-674-2532. These guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. The truth is, you've probably driven right by some of their work and not even known it, because their buildings stand the test of time. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on the foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. They're the best at what they do, and frankly, there's just nobody else that compares to them. So whatever type of metal structure you need, just give Nick and Jesse a call at 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. And now, back to the program. You're listening to Wyoming's number one political podcast. The views expressed on this program have been documented to be mostly right, at least 96% of the time, probably more. One of the places they're documented is the FeedSpot Best 15 Wyoming podcast that you must follow in 2022. Cowboy State Politics made that list at number 8. Now, the best Wyoming podcast list is curated from thousands of podcasts on the web, ranked by traffic, social media followers, domain authority, and freshness. In Wyoming, that includes 255 blogs and podcasts that are specific to our state. What's interesting about this list is Cowboy State Politics is the only truly conservative show that even made their list. There's another program that made their list that claims to be conservative. They came in at number 12. Just like the people we're about to talk about, they don't really understand what conservatism really is. They should go back to the first 10 minutes of this program to get a full understanding of what it means to be a conservative. The word conservative is thrown around this state just like it's a tennis ball, simply because the voters of this state are conservative. So anybody else that wants to be listened to, well, they have to claim to be conservative too, even though they're not really. The truth is, you've got to believe in those fundamental, timeless principles that I talked about at the beginning of the program, and then you need to act on them. In any case, we're delighted that Cowboy State Politics made the list, and we truly appreciate it. I've posted a link to those ratings at cowboystatepolitics.com, and you can check it out at your leisure. There are three organizations in Wyoming that rate politicians as to their conservatism. Well, there might be more, but the three most prominent ones are Evidence-Based Wyoming, WyO Rhino, and WyO Vote. All three of them approach the problem from three different perspectives. Evidence-Based Wyoming tells you how often a politician either sides with the Republicans or the Democrats, and the way that they do that is through each roll call vote. WyO Rhino picks 10 bills, and their committee decides whether or not that bill is conservative or not, and then rates each legislator according to how they voted. Nobody knows who the committee is, so the list just is what it is. WyO Vote does something similar to Evidence-Based Wyoming. They rate each roll call vote as to whether it's conservative or liberal, and then they assign a value to each vote, so 3 being very conservative and -3 being very liberal. At the end of that one, the legislator pretty much comes out with a grade point average. So it's kind of like WyO Rhino, except that they don't cherry-pick 10 bills. It's every single roll call vote. And later on in the program, I'll explain the benefits of doing it that way. What's interesting about all of this is no matter what the method is, all three of them pretty much arrive at the same conclusions. At the top, you'll have a smaller group of people who really are conservative. And then you have the Redcoats, of which that is the majority of the legislature. And then down at the bottom, you have the Democrats, otherwise known as the folks who are wrong. But at least they're honest when they're doing it. Okay, so I've already told you what a conservative is. So what is a Redcoat? It goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. You see, back then, nobody really knew who was a liberty-loving patriot and who was a Redcoat. That is, a spy working for the British government. Because they all dressed the same. And it wasn't until these redcoats would go to the home that they had seized from one of the colonists, and they took off their patriot clothes and revealed themselves for who they really were, a redcoat, otherwise known as target practice for George Washington. Now, here we are, 250-some-odd years later, and we still have the same behavior going on. In Wyoming, the vast majority of the time, you're not going to get elected if you're an honest Democrat. And for the record, I actually kind of like the Democrats. I mean, they're honest about who they are. Unlike these folks that call themselves conservatives just so they can get elected. So a redcoat is a Democrat that lies to voters by calling himself a conservative just so they can get down to Cheyenne, and then they act on their Democrat agenda. Redcoats. So these lists are super useful in exposing who is a redcoat and who is actually a conservative. Now, there's lots of organizations in the country that rate legislators. For example, the American Conservative Union. Another one is Club for Growth, and there's some gun rights organizations like the NRA that rate legislators according to their agenda. But the limitation with all of those is it's cherry-picking certain topics. So, for example, generally speaking, Governor Mark Gordon is pretty solid on the Second Amendment, but that doesn't really tell you anything about the rest of his policies. It wouldn't lead you to believe that he would enact a mask mandate, or that he would declare a state of emergency and then continue that same state of emergency for 6 months past when just about every other conservative state in the union went back to business as usual. That rating system wouldn't lead you to believe that Governor Gordon would keep that state of emergency so that he could receive federal funds. Doesn't tell you anything about his spending or his tax policy or anything else for that matter. It just tells you that he's pretty solid on the Second Amendment. Now, to be fair, you have to dig into the numbers to derive anything over and above that they're really conservative or that they're really liberal. But if you look at the principles by which the decisions were made with all of these lists, it's a pretty good bet that if you're super conservative, you're not going to be voting to raise taxes or do any other crazy liberal type stuff. The first one is called Evidence-Based Wyoming. Now again, I've posted links to each one of these sites at cowboystatepolitics.com so that you can go check them all out. And I would suggest that you do look at all three of them because, like I said, they approach the problem from different perspectives. As a general rule, both in the House of Representatives and the Senate, the conservatives pretty much vote together. I don't think that I've ever noticed any of them voting to raise taxes. Unless, of course, there was a fee increase on some sort of bill that they missed. In fairness, in the last session, there was over 30,000 votes. That's both the House and the Senate combined. So you can see where it could be possible to miss a vote here or there. Okay, so Evidence-Based Wyoming. Essentially, what they do is they rate each legislator according to how often they side with the Republicans and how often they side with the Democrats. And they do that according to the roll call votes, which is pretty much the only way that you could tell that. However, the vast majority of votes that are taken in Cheyenne are not roll call votes. Like I said, there was over 30,000 votes that were taken this past session, and only about 600 of them were roll call votes. I know, weird that politicians wouldn't like their votes being recorded. So, Evidence-Based Wyoming. The cool thing about this website is it allows you to select two model legislators. So you select a Democrat. Most of the time I pick the most Democratic of Democrats, Mike Yin. And then you also select a Republican to compare all of the votes to. To get a true accounting how everybody lines up, you should pick somebody that generally appears at the top of the list and the bottom of the list almost all of the time. So in this case, let's pick Representative Stivar. He's almost always at the top of the list as one of the more conservative legislators. And then it shows you who's very conservative, and who's a redcoat. I've been telling Doug Girard, the guy that owns Evidence-Based Wyoming, that he needs to change that title down there at moderate to redcoat, but he hasn't yet. So anyway, it ends up showing you a graph as to where everybody lines up, whether they're conservative or liberal. And the other cool thing that it does is it gives you a percentage of how often they side with the Republicans and how often they side with the Democrats. In this case, let's pick Representative Fortner on the top end and the most Democrat of Democrats, Mike Yin, at the bottom. The reason I picked those two legislators is I already know the results of the other two indices, and at WyoVote, Chuck Gray and Bill Fortner are at the top of the list. And Mike Yen, he's almost always the most Democrat-leaning member of the House. One other item of note before I give you the top 15 most conservative legislators is you'll notice at Evidence-Based Wyoming, even though Representative Fortner has a 100% rating, he also agrees with the Democrats 36.7% of the time. The reason for that is there are some votes that are taken that are neither conservative nor Democrat. So, for example, if a vote was to pay the light bill at the Capitol building, just about everybody's going to vote to do that, even though I would argue that at most times that's a very liberal vote. Frankly, my friends, most of the time we should just keep the lights and the heat off in that giant building of ours. Messing with our liberties ought to be likened to freezing to death. But I digress. So according to Evidence-Based Wyoming, the top 15 most conservative legislators in the House of Representatives are as follows. Fortner, Stivar, Jennings, Gray, Larson, Baer, Winter, Haroldson, Nyman, Rodriguez-Williams, Knapp, Ottman, Burt, Worf, and Heiner. In the Senate, let's pick Senator Bouchard as the most conservative. Actually, this year, Senator Bouchard and Senator James's voting records are almost indistinguishable, but for the sake of argument, we'll just go with Senator Bouchard. The top 10 are, and the reason I chose 10 is there's only 30 senators, so this will give you the top third. But it is Bouchard, James, McEwen, French, Salazar, Hutchings, Steinmetz, Kolb, Boehner, and Dockstader. The other cool thing you can do with Evidence-Based Wyoming is you can look at each individual legislator's voting record. How often they side with the Democrats, how often they vote against their own party, bills that they sponsored. I mean, it's really an interesting list. Next on our list of lists is WyoRhino.com. Now, according to the website, WyoRhino is an index that is based on the platform and resolutions of the Wyoming Republican Party, which are passed in the convention every 2 years by thousands of elected grassroots Republicans. Senators and representatives are ranked together, and nobody knows who's doing the evaluating. These 2 points will become important later on when we get to my favorite ratings website. So any claim that rating both senators and representatives together is wildly inaccurate is just hogwash. Frankly, just because you disagree with the result of a rating system doesn't mean that it's inaccurate. It just means you don't like it. So anyway, WyoRhino, they pick 10 bills and they rate each individual legislator according to how they voted. And the results are pretty much the same as the ones from Evidence-Based Wyoming. The goal is different. WyoRhino, as you might expect, their goal is to expose the redcoats, or the rhinos. And interestingly enough, those people who are redcoats, well, their name is displayed in red. Coincidence? Perhaps. You'll notice on their rating scale that the vast majority of people in the Wyoming State Legislature are redcoats. The percentages that you'll see next to everybody's name refer to their votes, how they voted on those 10 bills that WyoRhino selected as evaluation points from this past budget session. It comes as absolutely no surprise to your illustrious host, but there are some legislators who scored a whopping zero, like Redcoat Steve Harshman, Jamie Flitner, Bob Nicholas. And then, of course, there's a whole slew of them that probably shouldn't even have shown up to work because they only got 10%, like Redcoat Speaker of the House Republican Eric Barlow, or Pat Sweeney, or Drew Perkins, or Bill Landon, or Obermueller. You can look it up for yourself and make sure you contact your legislator about them. WyoRhino is by far the more political out of the three indices, which isn't a negative thing, it just means that they are. Now, before we get to my favorite and our last index of this morning, let's pay a few bills and take a quick break. Right now is the highest that we've ever seen gun markets, and the best performers are the vintage collectible firearms, Colts, Winchesters, and rare military weapons. Over in Cody, Gunrunner Auctions is one of the nation's leading online auction houses. I'm telling you, my friends, if there's a gun that you don't know that you're looking for, go to GunrunnerAuctions.com and they probably have it. Each month, beginning on the 7th, Scott Weber and his team post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of the auctions start at $20 with no reserve. They only charge 15% for auctioning off your fine firearms. And they don't just have guns. They always have a long list of thousands of rounds of ammunition and gun accessories. So if you're looking for a firearm, go check out GunRunnerAuctions.com. And even if you're not, you should go look at their site. They've got some pretty cool guns for sale. Gun of the week is lot number 424. It's a Thompson Sender Contender Carbine in .38-55 caliber. It's a single-shot rifle with a 24-inch barrel. It's in like-new condition with a 24-inch stainless steel barrel, and it has a mint bore without sights. The Weaver scope base is installed. The frame and trigger guard have a 98% blue finish. It's got a walnut stock, and the forearm have near 100% smooth finish. It appears to have only been test fired. It's a beautiful gun, and you should check it out. It's lot number 424 at GunRunnerAuctions.com. Don't forget about the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, and tell everybody you know about it. Of course, I'll post all of the episodes there, but also anything I find during the course of the week that I think you might be interested in. And now, back to the program. Okay, our last list on our list of lists is WyoVote.com. This one, in my not-so-humble opinion, is the most accurate out of the three, simply because it evaluates each roll call vote as to whether or not that vote was conservative or liberal. If you'll recall, last year when WyoVote first started, I was a little bit skeptical, simply because I hadn't thought through their methodology by which they grade each roll call vote. And it was the first time that they put out a list, so I just went with the tried and true method of evidence-based Wyoming. The failing of evidence-based Wyoming is that it doesn't really tell you who's conservative or not. It just tells you who sides with the Republicans and who sides with the Democrats. And that gets you most of the way there, but there are some instances where the vast majority of Republicans vote for a bill that is not conservative. They just think that it's a good idea. Let me give you an example. Senate Joint Resolution 2. That's the one that would have created a property tax exemption for senior citizens. We can all probably agree that that's a good idea, especially if that senior citizen lives in Jackson or Buffalo or Sheridan. Places where property values have skyrocketed, and so have property taxes. And a majority of the Senate, where that bill originated, voted in favor of it. But it is not a conservative bill, for a couple of different reasons. First of all, the bill picks winners and losers. It creates special benefits for one group over another. Secondly, it changes the Constitution to do that. Third, it violates one of the legislative priorities set forth by the Republican Party for this legislative session. It further expands protected classes. So the goal of the bill is absolutely a good idea, and I think we probably all agree on it. The method by which you get there is what makes it not a conservative bill. So the method put forth by WyoVote, according to those 10 principles that are set forth on their website, would have caught that roll call vote. Wyo Rhino didn't evaluate that bill, and rightfully so. Evidence-based Wyoming, the vote would have had the opposite effect. It would have made legislators who voted for a bill that is not conservative appear to be more conservative than they are because they sided with the Republican majority. One more thing about this individual roll call vote business. Each individual vote was rated whether it was conservative or whether it was liberal. And only the votes that a legislator participated in count towards his or her score. So the result is the same thing as a high school grade average. An A student is probably going to perform at the same level no matter which class it's in, whether it's English or history. Similarly, an A student in one high school is probably going to perform similarly to if they were in a different high school. And that is the reason why you can rate both senators and representatives together, because it's their adherence to the principles of conservatism that they're being graded on. And so to suggest that a conservative in the Senate would perform differently than a conservative in the House is logically inconsistent. That's the very thing that these lists are trying to expose. And so, if a legislator claims that it's not accurate because both senators and representatives were rated together, what they're really telling you is they're not voting according to the principles of conservatism, because those hold true no matter which high school you're at. And I think that we can all probably agree that most of our legislators behave like high school students. And one more thing, and this holds true for both Wyo Rhino and Wyo Vote. Nobody knows who's doing the evaluating, so that argument is ridiculous as well. So now that we have all of that taken care of, here's the top 15 most conservative legislators according to Wyo Vote. Representative Chuck Gray, Representative Fortner, Jennings, Stivar, Bear, Haroldson, Winter, Larson, Rodriguez-Williams, Nyman, Ottman, Knapp, James, Bouchard, and Burt. And two more, Biteman and Worf. Another similarity that this ranking list has with evidence-based Wyoming is it shows you the number of I votes that each legislator took. So if you know anything about statistics, or grade averages for that matter, the larger the sample size means that a negative vote cast would affect that legislator less than it would if there were fewer votes cast. So for example, Senator Bouchard had 342 I votes. Representative Fortner only had 286. So a liberal vote that was cast by Bill Fortner would affect him to a greater degree than it would Senator Bouchard. That's just a hypothetical example, because both of those guys are solidly within the conservative rankings, and both of them are solid conservative voters. Now, just for the sake of argument, let's look at each individual house according to Wyo Vote. Let's begin with the Senate. Number one on the list is Senator Tom James, followed by Bouchard, Biteman, French, and Troy McKeown. In the House of Representatives, number one on the list is Representative Chuck Gray, followed by Fortner, Jennings, Stivar, and Representative John Bear. I've posted links to all of these indices at cowboystatepolitics.com. I suggest you go take a look at all three of them. But the long and the short out of all of this is, for the most part, they all agree. There's a few differences here or there, but by and large, all the rankings are pretty much the same. All three of these lists show you exactly who the redcoats are. That'll about do it for this installment. Have a good rest of your week, and we'll talk again on Saturday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.